So I want to start by reading two passages of scripture on friendship / community. The first is Proverbs 13:20, which says, "Whoever walks with the wise becomes wise, Whoever walks with the wise becomes wise, but the companion of fools will suffer harm." And then the second is Ecclesiastes 4:9-10, which says, "Two are better than one because they have a good reward for their toil. But if they fall, one will lift up his fellow." There's many more passages like this that speak on friendship and or community throughout the Bible. And I see these two just stuck out to me. And it told me through reading all the different passages that God thinks friendship is important. He talks about it. It's a gift he gives us in this fleeting life. He wants us, as in Christians, in community with one another. But he's also a jealous God. He won't settle for being second place to anything or anyone in the Christian's life. And it says so in Deuteronomy 4:23-24, which says, "Be careful not to forget the covenant of the Lord your God, which he made with you, and make a carved image, the form of anything that the Lord your God has forbidden you. For the Lord your God is a consuming fire, a jealous God." When Asher asked me to talk about this, I asked him, why do you want me to speak on the topic of friendship? And to be honest, I already knew the answer. He said exactly what I thought he was going to say. And he said, "Because of what you've been through this past year." Sorry, this is like really hard for me to talk about. Dang it, Asher. Okay, so I'll come back to that in a second of what I'm referring to. But I jokingly said, "Gosh, kick me while I'm down." And I still feel that. In all reality, I do think it's important to speak on something you're going through. Like when you're going through it, and not just when you come out on the other side. Because God is in the midst of it, just like he's on the other side of it. Thank you. I'm like blowing snot. This is so bad. Okay. Because God is in the midst of it, he's not just on the other side of it. And there's been plenty of days where I've asked, is there ever going to be another side to this? Asher also said something else I hadn't thought of. And he said, "I want you to speak on this because friendship is especially unique in ministry." And I wholeheartedly agree with that. Whether I like it or not, people have preconceived notions about a pastor, and therefore they have preconceived notions about a pastor's wife. And I would too. Like, I don't blame them. Since Asher and I have been together, I've heard comments like, "He's so funny for a pastor. You're so much different than I thought you would be. Before I knew you, I thought you'd be a Bible beater." That last one left me thinking, wait, maybe I should be a Bible beater? Does this mean I'm not godly like they think I should be? Some of these statements I choose just to take as a compliment, because otherwise I would drive myself crazy trying to figure out exactly what they mean. Underneath these words, I think what they're really saying is, you're just a person. You're not better than anyone else. You're just a normal person. And honestly, I just want to be normal. I think we probably all do. I think we all kind of just want to blend in to some degree. We want people to accept us. Sorry, I'm not crying about these things. I'm crying because I know what I'm going to talk about here in a minute. We want people to be, we want to be well thought of, but not thought of too much to where we're no longer normal. Just let me be a part of the group, whatever the group is in your circumstances. I feel like everyone at some point in their lives can relate to that. Although I've chosen to take these statements as compliments, it's often left me thinking that I need to prove myself. Not only do I already struggle with people pleasing, but now I have to prove that I'm a normal pastor's wife. I don't sing in the choir unless you think I should. I'm not going to hit you over the head with a Bible. All this to say, it makes it that much more special when you find people that you don't have to explain any of this to. You feel seen for who you are, and you can just be. You get each other. Thankfully, the Lord has really blessed me, and I'd say, and Usher, with a lot of authentic friendships like this. Now, circling back to what I referenced earlier about this year being particularly hard, to be totally candid with you all, I lost a friendship this year. Okay, I just need a minute. I promise I'll get this out. It was one of the friendships... like, literally can't see my paper. Okay. It was one of the friendships that I described above, where you can just be and where you're accepted for who you are. This particular person felt more like a sister to me and honestly was like another daughter to my parents. The pain really, really cut deep. I'm not going to give too much detail here, because the point of me talking isn't to gossip, it isn't to tell my side of things, it's to make much of Christ. But what I will say is that this summer really shook me to my core. In a matter of minutes, everything I thought about my friendship with this person just changed. I knew in that conversation, things were different from here on out. Not because there couldn't be and isn't forgiveness, but because it revealed so much about what our friendship actually was and what it wasn't. It revealed deeper things I had no idea were there. This sent me into a spiral of questioning a lot about myself. Some of those questions were, does everyone think this? Am I this person that they're saying that I am? If I can't trust her, one of the people I felt closest to, then who can I trust? I felt absolutely betrayed. I'm sure there's people in this room who have felt the same way. When you're hurt by someone, depending on who it is, you might be able to just kind of move on. This was different. There hasn't been a day, it's been probably 8 months now, that has gone by where it hasn't crossed my mind. It's gotten better. I no longer have this deep pit in my stomach when I think about it. So that's progress. But this scenario left me asking, okay, God, I know you say friendship is a gift, that friendship spurs you on, but what about when it breaks you? Then what? What do you do when you've tried to make it work and it's not reciprocated? When you're cut out of someone's life who you thought would be in yours forever? When you feel misunderstood, when you feel like you have to prove yourself? I've prayed through and read scripture since this event many times. And I've just been left going, okay, it's not working. What you're saying, God, about reconciliation, it's not working. So what do? I've read a lot in the Bible, particularly in the Psalms, about God being our defender, about the psalmist asking God, do you see what's happening to me? Why aren't you doing anything? Where is the justice? Things were said to me that I don't think are true. Things were said about my family that weren't factual. And I'm still in this, to be honest. That's what makes this so hard and so raw, is that I'm not on the other side. There hasn't been resolve, but I can be at peace with the fact that I've done all I can and I've extended love. I haven't been able to give the peace of my mind like I'd like to. I haven't been given the opportunity to really say what all I feel. But I'm choosing to trust that God sees and that he knows. and that he's sovereign. In reflecting back to this, I've seen that in some ways, this friendship was an idol in my life. Not all of it, but I certainly saw that it had, at times and moments, taken the place of God, and it's forced me to cling to the Lord with who he says he is, who I am in light of what he says, that I can never fully be understood by any human being, not even my husband, who's a pastor. The longing to be known, understood, seen, and valued is a God-given desire, but it's one that only he can fill. In my sinful flesh, I often battle the desire to turn to other things, other people, to fill my needs. And every single time, the answer is Christ, and it always will be Christ. A pastor that Asher and I know personally said in one of his sermons, "When you can't trace God's hand, you can trust his heart." I can testify to that in the pain of losing a friendship. I can't see. Sorry. I can't see exactly why this person was removed from my life by no choice of mine. But I do know. Sorry, I'm just trying to see my page. But I do know that I can trust God's heart in it. And I do know that he will work all things together for good, whether things are ever reconciled or not. So what can I do? I can do the next thing, which is pray for that person. Trust that God orchestrates all things. Know that I don't need to get the last word in, that God's my defender, whether I understand fully what that means or not. Because I'm still questioning how I'm being defended, to be honest. It forced me to look around this summer and say, Lord, where do you want me? Because I have more free time now. Where can you use me? The Lord was really kind to bring about a new friendship this summer that was unexpected. Not because I was surprised to get along with this person, but because this person entered my life right as this hardship had started. And I know that's not by accident. I can't sit here and say I don't miss the person that I'm referring to earlier. I miss her a lot. I miss what I thought we had. I miss the things we'd laugh about until we cried. I miss random phone calls. There's been a lot of things that still really sting. We used to be one of the first friends each other would call with good news or bad. And I hope that you too can picture that person for yourself. And I hope that they're in your life for a very long time, if not forever. This person was with me when I heard the words, or after I heard the words, "no heartbeat," while staring at an ultrasound screen, and she wept with me. I saw her in person recently. It became quickly relevant that I'm not a part of her life as she brings new life into this world. And all I could say was, I'm happy for you. But the most painful part was looking into her eyes and saying that, and no longer knowing the person looking back at me. And wondering, did I ever? And I think I did, but you're met with those questions. All this to say, it's reminded me of the friend that we have, I have in Jesus, the one who is constant. And so I want to end with one of my favorite hymns, which says, it's called "Jesus Strong and Kind." And it says, "Jesus said, if I should thirst, I should come to him. No one else can satisfy, I should come to him. Jesus said, if I am weak, I should come to him. No one else can be my strength, I should come to him. For the Lord is good and faithful, he will keep us day and night." We can always run to Jesus. Jesus strong and kind.